living a holy life for God in the face of temptation became that much more attainable for me when I understood this one truth about temptation that honestly, most Christians don't get. I'm sharing what that truth is in this video. So if you are struggling with the tension of trying to live for God and battling your flesh at the same time, I'm assuming that's all of us, this video is for you. It's for us. Stay tuned. Welcome to Beloved Women with me, Christina Patterson, where we empower women in the love of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word. If you are new here, welcome. Please be sure to subscribe so that you never miss a video. And for those of you returning, welcome back. For daily encouragement, weekly Bible study with me, and unlimited videos to grow your faith, I invite you to join the Beloved Women app. Currently, we are going chapter by chapter each week through the book of Esther, and it has been amazing. I'd love for you to join us. I think that sometimes we get stuck falling into temptation because we don't really understand how temptation works. We think that we need to just focus on the behavior that we want to stop and just stop doing that thing. But how many times have you tried that only to find yourself back in the same cycle of sin over and over and over again? But as we look at the scriptures, we'll see that they reveal to us the root of all temptation. If we can get a hold of that, we can better prepare ourselves to be able to live the godly, holy lives God is calling us to, because God is not going to call us to do something that He hasn't empowered us to do. In today's video, we'll learn how temptation really works to create space between us and God, how to navigate the tension between being saved yet still fighting the flesh, and what the true root of temptation is, so we can overcome to live the holy lives God is calling us to live. But first, I need you to understand that how you think about temptation matters. If the enemy can get into your head and make you think that you'll always be stuck in this cycle, you'll never get better, you'll never get out of this, there's a very good chance that you won't. So it really comes down to understanding and truly believing that not only can God set you free, but that He will. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The very reason that Jesus came and died on the cross is so that we could be free and not live in bondage to the things that tempt us every single day. Now, sometimes I think we get this confused because we think that, okay, I'm saved now, I'm supposed to automatically be able to live this holy life. But that's not how it works. And even the Apostle Paul tells us that he struggled in his flesh. In Romans chapter 7, he shares that he doesn't do what he wants to do, but what he hates to do, and talks about the desire to do what's right, but struggling with the ability to actually do it. Does that sound familiar? His flesh desired to sin while his inner being delighted in God's ways. His conclusion is that even though his flesh desired to serve sin, he glorifies God because he now has a mind that serves God. That means he now has the power to win that battle. When we are first saved by Christ, we're justified. That means we are now in right relationship with God and that our sins are covered and will not lead to death because they have been forgiven and we have life in Christ. When we die, we will be resurrected to our glorified bodies as Christ was, because the Holy Spirit is now in us as God's deposit that He will come back to get what is His. So when we're saved, we're justified. When we die and we're resurrected, we will be glorified. But right here on earth, right now, in the tension between the two, we're being sanctified. This is the process of us still being in the flesh and yet at the same time being molded into the likeness of Christ. So this is why we can be tempted. Our souls want to do the right thing, but our flesh does not. And the two are constantly at war. Romans 8 verse 6 tells us, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." If you feed the flesh and do what the flesh wants, you will be ushered into sin. But if you feed the Spirit, you will do what is right. So how do we feed the Spirit? We feed our spirit the truth and the word of God. And not only that, we practice what God's word and truth tells us to do. That's how we activate the power of the Spirit in our lives. We make a practice of doing what God's word says to embody God's truth. That's how we feed the Spirit, to do what God wills so that we become more like Christ. Now, that means we must know God's word and we must know his will. So that's why Bible study and prayer are so important. As we're in this tension between our flesh and the spirit, what's the root of our temptation? It's not the behavior itself. James 1 verse 14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." Practicing spiritual disciplines does feed our spirit, but the root of all temptation has to do with the desires of our heart. Simply put, what do you want? And more importantly, how are you going about to fill that desire? Oftentimes, our falling into temptation isn't only because of the desires we have, but because we've misplaced those desires. So maybe a desire to be provided for leads to stealing, or a desire to feel significant or want to be significant leads to pride, or a desire to be appreciated leads to premarital sex. These desires aren't wrong, but when we try to fulfill those desires outside of God, we sin. For sure. Now, I share a little bit more of my personal desires and struggles and the sin that led me to in my video on how to break a soul tie. Now, the trick of temptation is we'll be convinced to search for something that we already have. Significance, protection, purpose, provision, joy are all provided to us by God. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us we shouldn't even worry about the things that God knows that we need, because God as our Father and us as his children, he knows what we need even before we need it, and he will provide for us. In the chapter, Jesus says that it's the pagans, or those who are not part of God's family, that worry about those things. Jesus didn't fall into temptation when the enemy tried to tempt him in the wilderness, because Jesus, one, knew who he was, and two, knew what he already had. The enemy will try to pervert or twist what's good in order to get you to sin and not trust God, because all sin really is a lack of faith in God. Jesus didn't need to bow down to the enemy to get all the kingdoms of the world that the enemy was promising, because he knew that once he rose again, all authority in both heaven and earth would be granted to him. The enemy will exploit the desires that we have to get us to rush or to get us to fulfill that desire in an unhealthy, sinful way. But when we trust God with the desires of our heart and his ability to fulfill and provide, the enemy loses leverage. When you trust that your heavenly Father has everything that you're looking for, it's going to be much harder for you to fall into temptation, because you know that all the desires that you have are met in Christ. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, okay? But it does help. In Matthew 5 verse 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Have you ever experienced the shock and surprise of eating food only for it not to taste as you expected? You expected your coffee to be hot, but it was cold, or you wanted something savory, but it was bitter instead? Unmet expectations tend to leave us frustrated and unsatisfied. And the enemy will play on the unmet expectations of the desires of our heart to have us meet those needs outside of God. So often we're tempted to look for fulfillment in material gains, satisfying our flesh, or acquiring the approval of others. But Jesus tells us that true gratification is found in desiring God, because God is the only true source that can completely fill our souls. The artificial happiness encouraged by the world is determined by what we do or what we achieve. But the joy offered in the kingdom of God is determined by what we desire. It's not the striving of our hands that leads to blessing, but the desire of our heart and how we seek to fulfill those desires. When our desires are founded on the misconception that our souls can find fulfillment apart from the maker of our souls, we will only find ourselves more discouraged from believing empty promises. We'll find ourselves in a cycle of searching and craving for more and more of this world, only never to find what we're actually looking for. But when we desire what God wants for us, we won't be let down. Instead, we will experience the blessing of a sincere satisfaction in Christ. Our desire is what we want. And as believers, it's in our best interest to cultivate lives that encourage a desire, a thirst, and a desperation for God. How do we do that? First, we have to look to God. King David in the Psalms writes that it was his desire to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in Psalm 27 specifically. He's known as a man after God's own heart because his heart desired God. He wanted God because he saw that God was good. So what do we do when we don't want God? First, we admit that, and then we pray to God to change our hearts because he's the only one that can change our hearts. But we must not be deceived. If we're constantly looking at the world and the things of the world, and we're convincing and telling ourselves that it's more interesting or better or fascinating, and cultivate that FOMO or fear of missing out, then we continue to deceive ourselves. We need to truly look and behold God and know who he truly is in power, beauty, sovereignty, and love. When we're on a quest to truly discover that every single day of our lives, our hearts are changed and molded to want and desire him. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." Many people think that this verse means that God will give us whatever we want, but that is not what the scripture is saying. The scripture is a principle that means that when we first delight in the Lord, we will be granted the desires of our hearts. Because when we delight in God, our desires will be in alignment with his. It is in delighting in God where we reverence and honor him and our hearts desire him more. When we look to the Psalms, we learn a lot about the desires of our hearts and their relationship with growing our faith. So I encourage you to watch this video where I share more about Psalm 37 and how to trust God with the desires of your heart. And for more encouragement, please download my Bible study called Worry Free to learn the three lies feeding your worry and the truth to set you free at belovedwomen.org. Thank you so much for watching today. And until next time, be beautiful, be blessed, and be loved.